I imagine a lot of people were awake last night. In following the tragic case of Breonna Taylor, you already know that no one was charged in the death of this young black woman in Louisville, Kentucky. 6 months ago, in the early morning of March 13, 2020, Taylor and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, were asleep in their own home. When Walker thought he heard intruders, he fired a warning shot using his legal firearm. It turned out that three undercover police officers were attempting to enter their home with a battering ram under a suspicious no-knock warrant who purportedly did not identify themselves as police, though there is at least one witness who says otherwise. And they fired repeatedly into the apartment, ultimately killing Taylor. This is Dr. Catherine Bancoli Medina with The Invention of Racism. Our goal is to share the subtle and not so subtle nuances of racism from the past into the 21st century. Understanding and speaking the truth about racism is the first step toward combating and ultimately eliminating it. From the beginning, I want to say that I am not an influencer, an activist, or a politico. I am not an outside agitator. But truthfully, I am grateful for all of these diverse voices. However, I have lived in Louisville, Kentucky. I was born there. And though I left years ago, I know quite a bit about this city, its inner workings, and just how it operates. The Invention of Racism podcast was designed to build upon previous episodes, and we're just getting started. But we live in a time where everything is existential, causing us to respond in multifaceted ways when we have to. And this is one of those times. So this bonus episode is on the Breonna Taylor case and performing the racist script. The public narrative about the death of 26-year-old Breonna Taylor has shifted significantly since that tragic date of March 13, 2020. Still, there are so many questions that have gone unanswered, questions that many say should have gone to a jury. And currently there are calls for the evidence presented to the grand jury to be released to the public. I can't begin to fathom all of the important questions. I'm a citizen, an observer, and I know that there are many, many questions. I'm thinking, if the police were deemed justified in this shooting, then why did they drop all charges against her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, who was charged with attempted murder of a police officer? If Walker made the 911 call, and we know he did, not even mentioning the police, how does this hold with the narrative that the police identified themselves to him beforehand? How was he not struck once by any of the bullets fired? If the police were justified in shooting and killing Taylor, why was the use of no-knock warrants suspended and then later banned? And in the span of things about how these events unfold, you know, this took place rather quickly. How do three officers fail to use body cameras? Why didn't Taylor receive any medical attention? And if the main officer was fired for recklessly shooting into Taylor's apartment, then, again, why was he not held accountable in some way, directly, for her death? As egregious and shocking as the verdict is, Black women were not surprised at the grand jury's decision. Sherrilyn Ifill, Kimberly Crenshaw, Brittany Packnett Cunningham, Bree Newsome Bass, and scores of Black women across the country have emphasized the structural facets of racism, particularly the way in which human society enforces strict racial double standards in law enforcement and Black community interaction. So much of racist performance is about controlling what white people think, not so much what Black people think, and certainly not how Black people are harmed. What we are privy to was a highly constructed presentation designed to ensure that the classic racist script was upheld. The racist script is the historic pattern and practice of justifying the removal of justice from the Black experience. The weight of this kind of oppression is immense. The racist script, as it relates to the Breonna Taylor case at this moment, reflects a number of important points. I'm thinking about the area of police in terms of accountability. Police are always held to a lower threshold of accountability. They are very rarely held responsible in the deaths of innocent citizens. This kind of shield is enshrined in the history of policing. If a police officer is indicted and charged for killing an innocent Black person, much less being sent to prison for it, it means that he or she has been sacrificed to the local political machine. Now, by political machine, I'm referring specifically to a closed network of political operatives and influential authority figures. These are the people who make very important decisions about what happens in any city. So, notwithstanding that, if a police officer is charged in the killing of an innocent Black person and somehow is indicted and goes to jail, the other alternative is that the police union was not a powerful enough component within the city's infrastructure of governance to prevent it. And this is very, very rare. Information is always mediated in the racist landscape. The goal is to manipulate public perception, so there's always a coordinated rollout of the information. This includes pieces of information given from the time an announcement of civil damages is made to the rendering of a grand jury indictment. Study multiple comparable cases. The use of grand juries is calculated. They are secret bodies. Decisions have already been made about what information the public will receive and when they will receive it. Breonna Taylor's case, based on prevailing norms, had already been decided. One of the most important racist tools is manipulating information around the character of the victim. Like most cases, there was a concerted effort to tarnish Breonna Taylor's memory. They tried very hard to dirty up her as an armed, dangerous career criminal drug dealer's girlfriend. This is consistent with the racist script. To reiterate, this part of the performance is predicated on what white people are willing to believe about black life, and never about what black people think. That they found no illicit drugs or cash consistent with a high-profile narcotics case was very problematic. It shouldn't matter that Breonna Taylor was an EMT and aspiring nurse. It didn't matter who this black woman was. There would have been an effort to destroy her reputation even after death. The racist script requires the silencing of people. Notice how media attention immediately shifted from the grand jury to the protesters. In the early afternoon, before the summary of the grand jury report, as protesters began assembling, the focus was on what they might do. In what ways would the protesters behave that might possibly be harmful to the city? But armed white militia sauntering the same streets of Louisville was little more than a footnote. There was no discussion or analysis of this by state authorities in terms of what potential harm their armed presence might foment. And very little attention given by a lot of the media outlets as well. Visibly armed black people would not have been able to assemble en masse in Louisville or anywhere else under these circumstances. As the drama unfolds, it's strange that we now have reports that two officers were shot and one black man is in custody and already charged. This is like less than 24 hours after the grand jury report. But there is a wall of silence around any factual information about that incident, which over the media cycle reinforces the idea that the police are the only victims and that the shooting was somehow protest related. The scripting and unveiling of the grand jury report was very well executed. It was evocative of the Freddie Gray case in Baltimore 5 years ago. Ultimately, no one will stand before the bar in Breonna Taylor's case. The ruling essentially stated that there was no wrongdoing in the death of Breonna Taylor, that her death was justifiable. Justifiable. This is the direct messaging to the general public. They told us that the shooting was warranted based on the law and a set of carefully curated facts. This case was never going to trial. The racist script dismisses the reality of black innocence. If an innocent black woman, and I can't help but think about the case of Tatiana Jefferson, but if an innocent black woman can't get justice, then eventually, at some point, no one can get justice. This is what the protesters understand. This is what the advocates understand. This is what the influencers and celebrities understand. This is why they are marching, shouting, and disrupting during a global pandemic. They know that if you are not safe in your own home, you're not safe anywhere. Racists know that you have to shut down questions. However, professors, lawyers, activists, learned people in general, they know that you have to ask the right question. So much hinges upon what happened in the first 30 days of this case. Notice that there was an immediate leaning away from asking critical questions about the origins of this particular narcotics enforcement team and the no-knock warrant, particularly what were the police doing there, given the information they originally said they had about a suspect already being in custody, the suspect. And was there no other way to determine if Taylor's apartment was a notorious drug runner's den? Racists don't want you to look at critical event timelines. Timelines are important in order to understand the sequence of events. They are also essential because it becomes very, very easy to discern at what point in time when crucial information has been removed from our consciousness. Some of the information available to us now may not be accessible 6 months from now. Pandemic racism is a pernicious animal. A state of emergency was declared before the grand jury verdict was handed down. Everyone knew what was at stake. In the midst of a pandemic, when Black people have the highest rates of infection and mortality, and all are at risk, people literally place their lives on the line. Louisville activists have been protesting nonstop since the case began, and they have been joined by protesters from all over the country. California, New York, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Philadelphia. Nearly everywhere, people are demanding that justice be done. The state of emergency and curfew tells us more about the intent to silence important voices than the effort to keep cities safe. That even during nonviolent protest, the racist script must be performed. And finally, in the racist script, the victim is further victimized. The grand jury made the case for 3 counts of wanton endangerment over the random hail of bullets that were fired into apartments that were adjacent to Taylor's home. According to some observers, this charge was applied specifically to the apartment of a white resident and not the apartments of Black residents, and most especially not to Taylor's apartment. Despite the grand jury verdict, this case is far from over. More information will be released. Who knows what will happen? But at the moment, this is an example of what my mother might call adding insult to injury. In the United States, there is a long history of victimizing the victim. This racist formula was at the heart of the system of slavery. The killing of Breonna Taylor is a deep trauma for her family, and yes, for the Black community. The system failed Breonna Taylor. She did everything she thought she was supposed to do in order to live a good life. She had plans for a bright future. She didn't deserve to die the way she did, on the floor with 6 bullets in her body. One report said that she was trying so hard to breathe and that she just bled out. She didn't receive any medical attention. The police officer who was shot did, however. Breonna was violently fired upon in the sanctuary of her own home. It is true that on September 15th, Taylor's estate was awarded a civil settlement of $12 million and the promise of police reform by the city. But no amount of money can replace a human life. And you know why the city settled. We will probably never know the whole story. A week later, exactly, the grand jury chose not to charge any officer for their role in Taylor's death. No amount of money can substitute for justice, no matter how powerful the political machine. And you know why. We all deserve a system of justice that is not at the whim of career political operatives. As I keep saying, racist performance manages what white people think, not what black people think, and cares nothing about acknowledging how black people are harmed. I know the streets of Louisville very well, from the east to the west end. I know what it is like to be a young black woman in Louisville, Kentucky, and dream big dreams for the future. Breonna Taylor was a human being. I know that you can't reform and you can't transform racism, but with audacity and protracted hard work, we can stop it together. Support for independent podcasts like The Invention of Racism is so critical at this moment. In the national and global effort to dismantle racism and to establish human equality, we need as many thoughtful and courageous voices as humanly possible. If you believe in and appreciate this anti-racism podcast, continue to download and support us. I encourage you to use your media platform to honestly analyze, examine, and put an end to racism. If you are listening to this podcast series, then you know, discourse on racism is not for the faint of heart. I hope you will continue to join me as I present key topics in The Invention of Racism.